Welcome. I'm Andy Rizzico.
And I'm Eric Willison.
And we're here today to do a step-by-step guide to the Ohio eviction process from a landlord's point of view in audio format. And Eric, we'd like to start out with, can you give us, give me and the listeners out there, a general overview of the Ohio eviction process?
Okay, the first thing that you have to understand is that an eviction starts with either a breach of the lease by the tenant, or at the end of the lease term, perhaps the tenant is holding over without the landlord's permission. You need to have some basis for an eviction. Once you have one of those two bases for an eviction, then you need to post what's called a 3-day notice to vacate. Now, that 3-day notice to vacate has to contain certain statutorily mandated language. And that specific language has to be set off from the rest of the text, either in bold or maybe in italics or separated by a paragraph and highlighted somehow. And that text has to say exactly as follows. You are being asked to leave the premises. If you do not leave, an eviction action may be initiated against you. If you are in doubt regarding your legal rights and obligations as a tenant, it is recommended that you seek legal assistance.
Now, Eric, you mentioned a couple terms there that may be a bit ambiguous to our listeners. You mentioned you can have an eviction action when a tenant holds over. What do you mean by a tenant holding over?
A holdover tenant is somebody who is continuing to stay at the premises and is offering to, well, hopefully offering to pay rent past the end of the term. Let's say the lease ends on December 31st of the year. And come January 2nd or 3rd, instead of a notice that your tenant has left, what you have is a check for January's rent in your mailbox. That is a holdover tenancy. That is a tenant who is basically attempting at this point to enter into a new rental relationship with you, probably on a month-to-month basis, but you don't have to accept that. If you want that tenant out of there because you've got somebody more desirable coming in February, then you've got the option to get an eviction action going against them if they refuse to leave.
Now, is there a way to avoid having a holdover tenant?
Well, in your lease agreement with the tenant, you can specify what happens at the end of the term. And you can put language into your lease agreement saying some landlords like to have holdover tenants, and they say that if you do not give a certain number of days notice before the end of the lease agreement, then the lease agreement will automatically renew for another year or for another 6 months or however. Others say that it goes to a month-to-month agreement at that point, and the tenant will be obligated to pay for January. But if you absolutely don't want to have a holdover tenant for some reason or another, then you could put into your lease agreement that at the end of the lease, this lease terminates and no holdovers will be contemplated.
Or it sounds like you can have other language in the lease saying that if the tenant doesn't give notice of intent to vacate by a certain amount of time, then the lease automatically renews?
Certainly. Ohio law can cover that as well, yes.
And then I think the other, you mentioned the 3-day eviction notice. Tenants often have the misperception that a 3-day eviction notice serves as an actual eviction because of the general language on the eviction notice saying they either pay rent or leave, or in some cases it just says you're late on rent, so you have to leave. Can you shed some light on that?
Yeah, a lot of tenants believe that the 3-day eviction notice is part of the eviction. That's not perfectly true. What it actually is a prerequisite to filing an eviction action. That the posting of that 3-day notice on the door of the rented premises is what gives a court the jurisdiction to hear an eviction action that you may file later on down the road. Just posting a 3-day notice on the door does not actually start the eviction process with the court as far as that goes. So if somebody were later on researching into that tenant's background to see whether an eviction had been ever filed, just posting the 3-day notice would never show up because that's just something that you did informally. Now, once you file a forcible entry and detainer action against them with your local county court, then there we have the start of the actual formal eviction process.
And a forcible entry and detainer action is just a fancy way of saying an eviction, of course.
Right.
And by the same token, there may be some landlords out there who also have the mistaken belief that the three-day notice actually serves as the actual eviction. And if the tenant isn't gone in 3 days, they can forcibly remove them themselves. But in actuality, that's not true.
Yes, that's wrong. In most cases, when you post a three-day notice, most tenants will leave. But if the tenant has not left after you've come back after that third business day, then you have to go ahead with the filing of an actual eviction action pursuant to Ohio Revised Code 1923.04. If you just change the locks and throw the tenant's stuff into a dumpster, you've committed what's called a self-help eviction, and that is specifically forbidden under Ohio law. The statute there is 5321.15, and you can get into a lot of trouble with that.
And I think the other issue we wanted to address on this segment is the timing issue of a three-day notice. Three-day notice really isn't 3 days, is it?
It's not. As with everything, the law is a little bit more complex than that. It's best to think of it as 3 days, three business days, or more accurately, 3 days that the court is open. For instance, were you to have posted your three-day notice on a Monday, the day that you post it doesn't count toward your 3 days. So you've got Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and then on Friday, you can post, you can actually file your eviction. But until Friday, you can't file it. And where people can also get into trouble there is if there's any sort of a national holiday that falls within that 3 day period, such that, let's say you posted on a Friday, well, Friday doesn't count, then Saturday won't count because it's a weekend. Sunday won't count because it's the weekend. Well, maybe Monday is Martin Luther King Day, so that won't count either. So your 3 days doesn't start until Tuesday. So it's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then it's the Friday of next week before you can file your forcible entry and detainer action with the court. So if you file before then, you've mistimed it, and if the tenant catches that, your eviction action will be dismissed.
And a three-day notice isn't the be-all, end-all in terms of lease violations. There are actually notices requiring more than just 3 days for certain lease violations. Isn't that correct?
That's true. If there are three types of violations that can happen. One could be a violation that is a violation only of the lease's terms. Let's say that it's a no-pets clause. And you discover that the tenant has a dog, at that point that's a pure lease violation. But sometimes you can have a violation of the tenant's duties to the landlord pursuant to what's called Ohio Revised Code 5321.05. And that would be something that would say that the tenant has to keep the rented premises in as safe and sanitary a condition as is possible. Or the tenant is not allowed to allow damage to the premises. That would be a violation of 5321.05. If what you're alleging is a violation of 5321.05, then you must first give the tenant a chance to correct the problem. You can say, okay, stop doing this, and you've got 30 days to stop doing that. Once those 30 days have passed, if the tenant is still in violation, then you can hang your three-day notice on the door. But if it's just the tenant has a dog, and of course the law says nothing about dogs, if the tenant has a dog, you don't need to wait that 30 days, because that's a pure violation of the lease. Now, some landlords get tricky, and they take the language from 5321.05 and just cut and paste it right into their lease. And then they try to argue, well, Your Honor, it's a violation of the lease because the law is now in my lease. Well, the courts are a little too smart for that. And they've said that if what you are arguing is a violation both of 5321.05 and the lease agreement, then you do have to give the tenant that 30 days notice, give him a chance to cure the problem, and then if he doesn't cure, then you can hang your 3 day notice on the door.
So to kind of summarize that, it sounds like some landlords, to get past the 30 day notice requirement, they put those things in 5321.05, which require 30 days notice, into their lease, And then they say, since it's a lease violation now, they just have to give 3 days notice, not 30 days. Is that correct?
That's what they try to do.
But that you can't do that.
That's correct. The case law says that you can't do that.
And can you give some examples of what type of tenant violations would result in a 30-day notice rather than just a 3-day notice?
Yes. Let's say that the tenant is doing something that damages the apartment. Let's say water is leaking out of an aquarium into the apartment downstairs. It's causing damage to the place. That would be a violation of 5321.05. You've got to give the tenant notice to get that aquarium fixed or to get rid of the aquarium or however it would stop the leaking process. The tenant then has 30 days to get that taken care of. If the tenant still hasn't taken care of it within 30 days, then you can come back and evict the tenant, post the 3-day notice, and start the eviction process after that period is up.
How about noise violations?
A noise violation, that's sort of a gray area, because 5321.05 requires that the tenant not do anything that would affect the health and safety of others. Now, noise may keep other tenants from falling asleep, therefore they could argue that their immune system is weakened somehow. But mostly noise violations, I think you would say that a noise violation would be a violation of the lease terms itself, saying that the tenant will quietly enjoy the premises and not cause a disturbance to others. Now, keep in mind you have to have that provision in your lease, but that's a gray area right there.
Okay. Well, landlords and tenants can go to our homepage, and there they'll find a link to the Ohio Landlord-Tenant Act, and they can go directly to Section 5321.05 and read up on the specific duties that would require a 30-day notice instead of a 3-day notice. But we're going to go ahead and wrap up this segment, and our next segment we'll talk about filing the eviction and the eviction hearing itself.